Day traders, do you know that you're being targeted by the financial institutions that you use to run your day trading business and by the federal government? Let me give you a quick horror story here. I'm going to get into more detail about this as we go into the video, but I have someone who's become a good friend of mine, and she's a housewife. And a few years ago, she decided that she wanted to help. She wanted to, the kids were almost grown and she wanted to, do something, make some money for the family. And so she decided to dip her toe into the waters of a day trading business. Well, she discovered that she was a savant. I mean, this woman is an amazing trader, even to the point where she was made over $1 million in this. But what happened? She got someone filed an SAR report, a suspicious activity report, and her brokerage froze the money. Now, that was like $500,000 or $600,000. She went to a different brokerage account and started having the same exact success, and that one went under too. Boom. So obviously she was on a blacklist. And I'll never forget when I was talking to her when we first met, and she told me, she says, "Don, I went from being a millionaire to having to sell plasma to just to help put food on the table in the blink of an eye." And that's what's happening now for day traders. And she's not the only one I've spoken with. So in this video, I'm going to tell you exactly why day traders are especially vulnerable to what's happening now in this is in our society and in our banking and financial institutions and with the federal government. I'm going to tell you and show you why it's not a question of if you're going to get a SAR and your account frozen. It's a question of when, if you don't make drastic changes. And I'm going to show you why you have no choice but to change your business. I'm going to show you how you should do it so that way you can continue trading, keep your profit, and not have to worry about, the boogeyman coming to steal and freeze all your hard-earned cash. Okay. So who am I? My name is Don Thornton. I have an MBA in finance. I have been a serial entrepreneur since I was 18 years old. I have am one of the most successful short sale investors in the country. I flipped over 3,500 foreclosures and short sales and subject to deals in my 22-year career. And I also now do consulting, and as you can see from my social media and from my YouTube, my mission is to warn people about the dangers of the Corporate Transparency Act, the Anti-Money Laundering Act, and how it's just absolutely wreaking havoc in our society, especially with our small business owners and entrepreneurs. And before I jump into exactly what's going on here, I have to do a disclaimer. Don't want to get in trouble, that I let you know that I am not a licensed tax, accounting, or legal professional. Nothing I say here should be considered legal, tax, or accounting advice. This is for informational and entertainment purposes only, and you should always consult with a licensed professional before you enter into any financial transaction. All right, so let's talk about why day traders are especially vulnerable to having their accounts frozen. So listen, I'm talking to day traders right now, but there's people out there that don't know anything about day trading. So I'm going to give a little review about how this works. Okay. So if you're going to do a day trading business, then you open up a brokerage account with a brokerage. There's a few of them out there, Ninja Trader, and different things like that. Excuse me, and you deposit some seed money into it, 5,000, 20,000, whatever you have available. So you set your account up. You can set it up either with your in your own name, with your social security number. You could do, people have done it with LLCs and so forth. So then you start to trade, and usually the strategy is that you're going to trade a contract. Now a contract is $5,000, so you can trade one contract, 10 contracts, depends on how much money you have available. Now, what I do in my day trading business is I trade contracts for $5,000. Okay. Now the really good traders, and I'm not saying I'm a good trader by any means, but the really good traders, I mean, they can keep up to $100,000 in a brokerage, and that's broken down by $5,000 or up to 20 contracts they can trade. Okay. So again, like to work with successful people and learn from them. And I've learned from them that you really shouldn't keep more than $100,000 in your brokerage account because it doesn't do any good. You might as well just keep it. And like I said with my friend, she had well over $1 million that was just sitting in that brokerage account. And ended up getting frozen, and she didn't never got to enjoy it or use it. So the successful traders, they'll take a daily profit. So once you get to $100,000, then let's say if you make you're at 100, you're trading 20 contracts at $100,000 total, and let's say that day you make I don't know, say $18,000, then the prudent move would be to take that daily profit and wire it to. And if you're on your purse, if you're trading on your with your social security number, your personal account is going to go to your personal account that you're banking in. Okay. So what does this mean? Why are you so vulnerable? Because it's lots of cash. Do you see what happens there? So you're depositing cash into the brokerage. You're making a lot of money if you're successful at this. And when you reach a certain level, you are taking lots of wires, lots of wire transfers from your brokerage account into your individual account. You may put that money somewhere else. So you got a lot of money circulating. You have varied amounts of wire transfers. I mean, and sometimes, let's say you don't make a $10,000 or $20,000. Maybe you only make three or four. Well, there's an added danger there because there's this thing called structuring. And banks and financial institutions are well aware that a lot of people do not want to withdraw or wire more than $10,000 because there's forms you have to file that you have to report that transaction to the federal government. So a lot of people do what they call structuring, where they'll specifically, let's say they got $50,000. Well, they don't want to send $50,000. They may send seven or eight wires of less than that. So it's below the $10,000 mark. Well, that's one of the things that financial institutions are looking at. So if if you're doing, you'd be very innocent. Let's say you only made $5,000. You don't want to keep it in the account. So you want to wire it out. Well, that could be considered structuring in the eyes of somebody in the financial institution. That's my next point here, is that there's so many eyes on what you're doing. Right, you've got the brokerage where you're doing all your trading. Now you could bet your butt that they have compliance people and they're examining everything you do, and the eye is on, can we, let's try to find some fraud, let's try to find some reason that they can, do a SAR report and freeze the account. You got the banks, the employees that work in the wiring department, they're going to see that this stuff's coming in more and more and more, okay? And listen, if you're trading offshore, that's even a bigger risk because now you're going to bring that money from offshore into the US. And if you're trading in somewhere that has a bad reputation, like say the Cayman Islands, boy, oh boy, that is a huge, even a bigger risk than you are trading domestically. So those are kind of the reasons why, as a day trader, you're especially vulnerable to, a bank, to bank freezing your accounts or doing a SAR report. So the next thing I want to cover is it's really not a question of if, it's more of a question of when your accounts are going to get frozen. Okay. And I know that you may think, oh my gosh, you're just trying to scare people. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the way things are. Okay. And hopefully this explanation will make you feel a little bit better about what I'm talking about. I'm not just pulling this stuff out of my butt. This is based on what's happening and what has been happening in our country for the last few years. Fundamentally, everything has changed since COVID. Okay. And what is worrisome for those of us who are small business owners or were entrepreneurs like day traders and me was real estate investing, is the federal government has fundamentally changed its view on small business and entrepreneurs. We were kind of the apple of their eye for a long time. Small business does provide about 80% of the job creation in this country. So there was always a lot of lip service paid to, oh, helping the hard-earned, the small business or whatever. But something changed with co after COVID. The federal government now believes that small business is a haven for money laundering and tax fraud, not to mention terrorism funding, drug trafficking, human trafficking, and so on and so forth. But they're especially looking at LLCs. They're looking at cash transactions because, in their mind, there is a increased inflated risk of anyone doing those types of transactions or using an LLC, that the chances are there's going to be some kind of money laundering on there that is being done. And so they're really looking for it. And lots of times people will find what they're looking for, even if it's not there. And that's what's been happening. Okay. So what's changed? Well, in 2021 and 2022, the Corporate Transparency Act and the Anti-Money Laundering Act were passed. And there's a direct timeline. If you look at the statistics and you look at those dates, Corporate Transparency Act in 2021, Anti-Money Laundering Act in 2022, if you look before COVID, before 2020, the average amount of suspicious activity reports that were filed yearly was around 4, maybe 5,000 a year. That's it. Okay. Let me tell you what's going on with these statistics. It's absolutely stunning. In 2021, they jumped to 2.2 million suspicious activity reports. In 2003 and 2, it was 3.6 million. It's projected that there will have been filed over 5 million SAR reports in 2023. And you know that as the occurrence of SARs being done in the financial institutions, financial industry, you know that the amount of frozen accounts has also skyrocketed. Okay. So, the issue that we deal with now, and you as a trader, day trader, is that the financial institutions have been co-opted by FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. That's the department of the Treasury Department that oversees the Corporate Transparency Act, the Anti-Money Laundering. Their whole purpose is to find money laundering. Okay, so they're co-opting. They already have co-opted the financial institutions, and they've done it in a way that, they want to make the financial institutions their eyes and ears. So they've been trained in the run-up to these laws, being fully implemented in 2024. They have been training these employees and the key people in these institutions to try to just to find out what is odd, or to not just find out, to report and freeze accounts of anything that's odd, suspicious, or doesn't make legal, business, or accounting sense. And like I said previously, to some flunky, either in the wire department or the fraud department or at the brokerage or at your bank, or where money's flowing in and out of, they could see that, they could sense that, well, this person, this day trader, one day he brings in 20, one day he brings in 2, and you're just taking profit. And it's up and down. You don't always make the same amount of money each time. Well, for some flunky, he or she could consider that to be structuring, where you're just trying to get out from not wanting to report the full amount, that you're just trying to spread it out, chop it up into days. Okay. And so that can end up triggering a SAR report right there. So remember, a lot of, if you make withdrawals less than $10,000, and you do it over a period of time, then you are a prime suspect for structuring, and it's one of the reasons why they will SAR you. Okay, lots of cash transactions, wire transfers, and you guys do it all the time, right? And I do day trading as well now, so it's the same thing. We are in their scope, their sights, right? Because we have all this stuff. And by the way, financial institutions also have a financial incentive to freeze your accounts and do a SAR report, because they, did you know they get 35, up to 35% of the funds that are frozen if there's a conviction? Think about it. Look what happened with this woman that I was telling you about in the introduction. Okay. She had 2 accounts frozen. The bank, none of the banks won't talk to her. The brokerages won't talk to her. She's had no contact from the government. She tried to get an attorney to defend her. No attorney would do it. And then she didn't have any money to pay the attorney anyway, right? And what's interesting is that the person she learned day trading from, her mentor, ended up having the same thing happen to him. And now he's trading under his girlfriend's name and so forth. And it's ridiculous, right? So it's happening more than you think. I think if you're, I don't know, if you're on a Discord or something in a day trading group, or if you're in the profession, you know that this is probably happening more than you even think. But a lot of people probably are just not talking about it because they're ashamed or they're freaked out or whatever. But just remember, day traders are some of the easiest prey out there for what I believe is just a federal money grab. It's all a money grab to, they go into the most vulnerable, the least protected, and they're the easiest prey. Okay, the low-hanging fruit, if you want to use another cliche. Okay. So now that you see the danger and why you're in the crosshairs of the banks, the federal government, the financial institutions, well, here's the conclusion you're going to have to come to. And I'm hoping this is talk, I'm talking some sense to you right now, is that the environment has changed. What was happening up until COVID, those days are gone. We have to remember that it has fundamentally changed how we have to run our trading business, and you have to go along with that, okay? So for one thing, if you're trading and you're on your in your own name and your social security, that is insane, okay? There's tons of personal liability there, but you don't have any protection at all. And look what happened to my friend, right? The lady who got popped with two accounts over $1 million. Well, she can't trade on her own anymore. She's like on a the financial equivalent of a no-fly list, okay? And you don't want to, just go find someone else that'll let you trade under their social security number. First of all, it's not that easy to do. Second of all, I mean, what's going to happen to you if the same thing happens again under their social? I mean, that's just a lawsuit waiting to happen. That is just, you don't want to do that. You don't want to kill anybody else's reputation or whatever. So if you're doing an LLC, well, I'm telling you, as I just mentioned previous in this video, LLCs are targeted. Okay. It's one of the worst structures you can do any business in, much less day trading. So you want to stay away from LLCs. You want to stay away from doing anything in your name personally with your social security number. People, every transaction is monitored. All these flunkies that don't know anything about your business, like I said, the example of structuring, when they think that, well, if you send these different wires every day or every week and they're all different amounts, they're obsessed with people money laundering and trying to find these things. So what is perfectly legitimate in our business, now some flunky can say, or even worse, AI can say that's they're trying to get out, they're structuring, they're trying to get out from reporting. And so they're going to SAR you. And then your accounts will be frozen, and you're going to be in absolute crap. That happens, okay? So you're probably saying, Don, you scared the crap out of me. You've done a good job on that. Well, then what was it? How do I trade without all these dangers? Well, you need to have an exempt entity, okay? And what does that mean? It means that you have to trade in an entity that is not under the Anti-Money Laundering Act or the Corporate Transparency Act. And so what is that? Well, I'll tell you. Give me a second. I'll go through it in more detail. Okay. But what I'm saying is that if you have an exempt entity that is not under the jurisdiction of the Corporate Transparency Act, like I said, it's not being looked at. It's in an exempt account with your financial institution, your bank, your brokerage company, or whatever. There's not even a comparison on the scrutiny that you're going to get. The exempt entity is going to help you trade and be able to do, to be able to, live your life without this fear of the sword of Damocles coming down a guillotine and chopping your financial head off. Okay. So there's some good news. Okay. Some really good news. The woman I was telling you about, she's like the poster child of the before and after. Well, I was able to help her get an exempt entity. And you know what? She's trading. She's making really good money again. It saved her family. I mean, they've gone from hopelessness to back to making profit and living their dream. All right. So that's the thing. And her social's not involved in it at all. The exempt entity is not tied to her social. So it's a perfect solution. So, in conclusion, what I want to tell you is that you need to recognize that the old way of doing business, the old way of trading, it's over. It's dead. Okay. The old rules no longer apply. And if you continue to try to trade as in your social, with your social and on your own name or an LLC, then you're a dinosaur. And I don't need to tell you, I don't think, what happened to the dinosaurs. Okay. So if you want to not be a dinosaur, you want to be able to thrive in this new bureaucratic, regulatory paranoia about money laundering, this new environment, then you need to talk to me. Okay. So reach out to me. My contact information's here. It's in the description. I'm very easy to get a hold of, and I can tell you about what type of exempt entity can make all the difference for you. Okay. Thank you very much for watching this video. I look forward to speaking with you in the future. And don't be a dinosaur. Okay. We all saw Jurassic Park.